Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. We have a wonderful guest joining us today. Sheila Marie is a spiritual guide. She is a teacher and she is a mentor. She's a revered master teacher in the field of healing arts and psychic development. She's highly regarded for her exceptional talents in supporting criminal investigations and aiding in locating missing individuals, criminal investigations, and mapping. With a rich background spanning over 15 years in law enforcement, she has established a solid standing within this industry, earning the title of a medium with integrity. Today, she works with numerous agencies, including the FBI, helping them solve high-profile criminal cases using her intuition and mediumship, and her book, Forensic Medium, The Power of the Unseen, imparts her profound wisdom and practical methods to help readers harness their intuition and cosmic guidance. Welcome to the show, Sheila.
Oh, namaste. Thank you. That's all my publicist work.
Yeah. No, I thought it was all essential.
I'm like, woo! namaste. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad that you're here. I am so excited to talk to you today because I had the chance to read, you know, some of your book, and it's fascinating. It's just very exciting. I was trying to figure out where I even wanted to start, and I figured I would start at the beginning. I would love to know how all of this emerged, because you were, you know, a police officer for a long time, and you also have these gifts of mediumship. So I would like to understand kind of that journey and how it evolved.
Sure. Well, I'll have to say in the beginning, dun, 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 dun. No, I was a skeptic. I never even went to a psychic or anything like that. I was a total Catholic holy roller, and I never stepped into a shop of a, you know, got my cards read or anything like that. So, and when I was a child, my mom used to say, she's psychic. She's psychic. And I used to get so upset. I'm like, why is she saying that to me? I don't want to go to HE double hockey sticks. Yeah. You know? And I'm like, oh my God, I was devastated. So anyways, to make a long story short, when I was about 11 years old, my dad was in policing as well. And he actually was working on hit and run cases, but he was becoming a hypnotist on the side. So basically he was doing mediumship, but it was called a different name at that time because of acceptance, you know? And so when I would visit him on weekends, he would say, okay, Sheila, sit down and close your eyes. And he would get me in a meditative state. So basically he was doing guided meditations with me. So I practiced that every night because I was trying to do good in my grades and stuff like that, you know? So I learned at an early age to be comfortable and trust the universe in a meditative state. You know, I knew that there was I got that from my dad, you know, about vibrations and frequency and all that kind of stuff. So nonetheless, many years later, after marriage and kids, I was in my early 30s. And I'll tell you, this is amazing what happened. This is actually kind of funny, actually. I was, my daughter was about 2 years old. Actually, I think I was pregnant with my son. And, but anyways, I'm in my bedroom and it's like dusk out at night. And at the end of my bed, there's a doorway into the bathroom and there's a window to the left. And I was talking to my sister Laura on the phone. I'm like, hey, how's it going? You know, and all of a sudden I heard that a lightning outside. And I shut it. It rained for like half a minute, and that was it. So I didn't think anything of it. And I'm lying there with my naked eye staring ahead, talking to my sister-in-law, who might add you is very new age and psychic and does all that stuff, okay? That we were at two ends of the spectrum. And all of a sudden I'm like this, oh my God. She's like, what? I'm like, oh, something. She's like, what's going on? I'm like, and I didn't want to talk because I didn't want, what I was seeing was white light in the bathroom, and it was about 4 feet high, and it went around the corner and then it went back. Like it saw me, you know? And I'm like, oh my God, you know, freaking out. My daughter's looking right at it too. And all of a sudden it flew across the room and then it disappeared. And it was when it wasn't in meditation state, it was, eyes, And she's like, "Oh my God, you're seeing spirit." I'm like, "No, it was probably a lightning bolt or something, I don't, And but I was not really very scared when I saw, I mean, I was scared, but inside I felt that I was safe. I knew that it was okay, but like I didn't feel like it was an entity or anything, dark. And so needless to say, Christmas time comes, my sister-in-law gives me a gift certificate. Go meet your spirit guide class, right? At some new
Oh,
age place. And I'm like, she's out of her flipping mind. I'm not going there. So I'm like, oh, thank you very much. And I take the gift certificate, I put it in the counter. And I'm like, I'm not going to that. So a year later, I knew Christmas was coming again. I said, I better go to this class because I don't want to deal with the wrath of my Italian sister-in-law, right? So I did. I went to the class and, excuse me, I went to the class and I get in there. And what does the teacher do? She takes us into meditation. I said, "Oh, I know how to do this. This is not a bad thing, And at the time, I'm praying to Jesus and Mary, "Oh, please protect me, If I'm not supposed to do this, don't let me see anything." So I say my prayer just like that when I get into this meditative state, and I said to God and Jesus, "If I'm not supposed to do this and not see anything, don't show me anything." Well, I get into the meditative state and all of a sudden things start happening and I'm thinking, "Oh my God, this is real. I saw it so much," and when it was so descriptive. And so I came out of that meditation crying. I'm thinking, "Oh my God, this is real," So they're like, "Would you like to join the class?" And I'm like, "Okay, what the hell?" So I started doing mediumship classes. And I get in there and I didn't realize I was so connected. I hadn't a clue I was at all. And there was mediums in there that had been in this class for like 5 years, and I'm just like, So to me, it was very natural, and because I trusted my higher power, and that's the key of it too, letting go of the fear, So I came home and I said to my husband at the time, I said to him, "I have to do this." He goes, "You have to do what?" And he was a police officer too. I was too, And so we were in the political world, people thinking, woohoo, right? And I said to him, I said, "I have to do this." He goes, "You have to do what?" And I said, "I have to do mediumship." He goes, "What the heck is that?" And I said, "Like readings and stuff." He goes, "Oh my God." I said, "Listen, you can divorce me now, but if I don't do this, I'll die." I said, "Because I need to teach people how to connect." I said, "Everybody's able to connect. If I can connect, anybody can connect." And it was so strong of a passion inside me that I felt like I would die if I didn't teach people, really. And I left my whole policing world and I started dabbling into this and creating a meditation center, this and that, and teaching. I've been teaching for over 25 years now. I do online now, do like mentorship and online classes and workshops. But I tell you, at that time, I didn't care. It didn't matter to me. It was everything to me, and it still is, it has become my whole life. So that's how I got into it.
Wow. So let me make sure I have this correct. So once you started like taking these classes, you walked away from being a police officer? Like, was it just
Well,
perfect timing or?
I could have gone back. So I was home with my babies
Ah,
and
I
I could have
see.
gone back, but I chose not to. I chose to keep going and to do my meditation and all this, I'm sorry, my meditation center and readings and everything. But I'll tell you, I had no idea that I was going to be a forensic medium. That fell into my lap. So you want me to tell you a
Yes, I would love to.
Yeah,
Yes, I would
okay.
love to
All
understand.
right. So this is a good story because it's amazing how, like, if you really think back in your lifetime, how everything leads up to the moment of where you are. And I realized after this that everything that had happened in my life was the foundation for what was coming, And to make a long story short, this guy named Kevin Kennedy and Lee Swanson, they were part of the Historical Society in Sudbury, Massachusetts. And now, mind you, Massachusetts and this area was where the Revolutionary War started. Okay. And I was not a student at all. I was an art, I was into arts and band and softball. I never studied or anything. So I was the perfect candidate. And part of mediumship is if you don't know it, it's easier because if you're not thinking it, So they said to me, "Sheila, can you come out here?" And they called me. I didn't know them. They called me and they said, "Can you come out in the fields and stand in the fields, excuse me, and tell us what you're seeing?" And so they were working with the Smithsonian Institute at the time. I said, sure, I'll come out there.
Cool.
So I bring my assistant, which was one of my students, and they covered everything up, like all the rocks. I knew I was in the King Philip Wards, but I didn't know where I was. So I get in my head into my meditative state, but I can see that meditative state when my eyes open. And I see this guy, and he looks like George Washington. So I start talking to him like he's George. I'm like, I'm going to call him Georgie, right? So I call him Georgie. So I go through the woods, and the Kiffle Woods, they take me to this old, now I find out all this information later, okay? But they take me to this old area. I'm sorry, this wooded area. Apparently, it was a tavern. And when I was standing in the middle of the tavern, I was saying, oh, I started reciting songs like "Life is a Highway," you know, I'm
Yeah.
gonna ride it. They told me later on, well, the highwaymen used to visit this tavern.
I
Yeah,
love it. Love it.
and George Washington was one of them. Yeah, I was
Wow.
freaked out, and then I was talking about some guy named Peg Leg. I was saying, oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. I mean, I had about 16 ticks on me because it was wet and it was
Oh
quite
my
gross in the
gosh.
wooded. But so Nick, a long story short, Kevin had been searching for the Babe Ruth piano. Now, Babe Ruth was his house was in, and this cottage was in this town. And the Environmental State Police had been searching for 30 years. And they would, and this pond has zero visibility. So after about 6 months, they take me in all different kinds of places in Sudbury and Concord. And what they were doing with me, they were tricking me. They were priming me to find Babe Ruth's piano. But I was just having fun with it because every Sunday I could go somewhere and practice, and then I could come home and be the mother because I would always drive an hour away to do readings. I never brought my mediumship home. I lived like separate lives, two separate lives. And so, anyways, I get out to this water one day, and all of a sudden I saw a flash of the Green Monster. And the Green Monster is Fenway Park in Boston. It's a wall. And I said, oh no. I said, this is that baseball thing, Kevin. I don't want nothing to do with it. And he goes, please just give us 10 minutes. I said, okay, fine. I'll give you 10 minutes, but then let's get back to work. So I go up this hill and I grab the stick and I go in my head. I ask Spirit to show me what I need to tell them, this and that. And I saw nautical marks. And I pointed and I gave them nautical marks. Well, they did trick me. The next day, I didn't know it. They had a permit for the pond and they had state divers lined up. The next day they went out and they found the piano in 10 minutes with
Wow.
those, with those nautical marks. I couldn't, so they had me come out. There was helicopters everywhere. This news went all over the world, to India, Japan. I wanted to die because nobody knew that I was a medium, really.
Yeah.
And I was like, you think I would be happy? No, I wanted to crawl under a rock and die. And it was the universe way of saying, Sheila, you're coming out today. And next thing I know, I'm getting knocks at the door by agents. Can you help us find this homicide? Can you help us do this? Can you help us with this? And that's how forensics started with me.
Wow,
Imagine that.
that's so wild. And yes, essentially spirit like threw you out into the public, like without a
Oh yeah.
choice.
Yeah, I didn't have a choice. It was like God's way of saying, let's shake her up. And she's doing it. They've waited long enough for me.
Yes. Oh my God,
And I
that's
promised myself I never ever would do policing again. Boy,
amazing.
was I wrong. Spirit had something
Yes.
else planned for me.
So, what is
Yeah.
your husband thinking about all of this?
Well, we're divorced now.
Oh, I see.
But yeah,
Okay.
it's been recent, but at the time, he left me alone. He let me do my work. He never got in the way of it, this and that. We just had other issues. And after, you know, there was other things going on in the relationship. But he was, you know, open enough, I should say. You know, he didn't get in the way of it. So that's a good thing, you know?
Yes, definitely. So, you
Yeah.
were a Catholic and now you're doing this. How do you kind of like put it together? Because it seems like the belief systems, I'm
Oh,
assuming,
yeah. You
kind
want
of
to hear? This is really
conflict
funny.
here.
Oh my God, this is really funny. So my kids went to parochial school, which is Catholic school, for everyday school.
Wow.
I didn't care because I wanted my kids to have to know that there was something much greater than them in the universe, you know, and that it's good for them to have faith and be part of our family and community. So I still went. Some of the mothers like, you know what I mean? But I'm like, listen, I'm like, in the Catholic Church, they have healers. You know, Jesus is one of the biggest mediums there was, if you really pay attention and read the Bible, you know what I mean? So he was healing the sick, and because that goes along with it, the healing and the energy and all that, and the connection. So I didn't feel bad, but I'm sure the people around me did. But I said, well, are we not supposed to judge each other because we're Catholic, you know what I mean? But a lot of the Bible and a lot of some religions, not just Catholicism, but it's man-made too, you know. So to me, I always find the spiritual end in the religion because that's truly who and what we are, and that's pure love, you know. And so I never felt bad. And actually, so I became Catholic when I was married. My family already was, but I was brought up Lutheran because my parents were divorced, and so I became Catholic. But then I studied spiritualism. I studied Buddhism, and now I'm studying Hinduism. So to me, I coexist, you know, on all different levels. And to me, there's just one universe, and it's very much science, but it is very much love and connection at the same time, you know? So to me, that's what happened. To me, it's like a spiritual growth as I do this too, because it helps me to help other people and understand other people too and where they're coming from. But ultimately, it comes down to just pure a highest vibration of love that you can ever feel. That's why I love connecting. I call myself an energy junkie.
I feel
You
you, trust
know?
me. And I'm curious in terms of being a medium when you're working now on cases, or when the FBI or somebody comes to you and asks for your insights into it, how does the system actually work? How does your process work? What is that
Okay,
like?
so well, it's really interesting because I have to give Kevin some credit here. So when I first was with my friend Kevin with the Historical Society, I believe spirit brought us together for higher reasons, you know, because he worked on a couple of my first cases with me. And what he would do is he would ask me certain questions in certain ways, and then I would answer him, and I would just write everything down as he's asking everything. You know, he's kind of like my assistant. And then later off, we broke off and went our own ways. And I feel that that was the foundation for my blueprint, actually. So when I'm working, I have a certain system that I do with spirit that I speak to and use in my mind and everything. And so, like, say for instance, a family person's coming, say a woman's coming, and so if someone comes in, basically what I do is I say to them, what's the person's first name? Don't tell me anything else. They'll show me the first name. I'll take their information as well, suspect and everything, because everyone's suspect. And I've had that happen several times in cases where people come to me and they're actually part of the crime, you
Oh
know?
my goodness.
So you have to be very careful. It's very dangerous work because you constantly have to protect yourself. You know, I've had a lot, many, many, many TV programs want me to come on and talk about cases. I'm like, I'll talk about them, but I'm not giving you the real names because these people are still alive. You know, they're in jail. They've got family. No, thank you. You know, I have a family. I have to protect myself. And so this woman would come in. I would say, what's the name? Let's just say Anthony. And Anthony, okay, have a seat on my couch. Okay. I said to her, well, what I'm going to do is, without you saying it to me, I'm going to work in front of you, and I'm going to ask spirit what I need to know about this case, see if I get any work, this and that. And I'll sit down in front of them, I'll have paper, and I'll start drawing. I'll start, 9 times out of 10, I draw maps and stuff, and I don't even know what the issue is yet. It might not even be a missing person. It might be homicide or just information. But I get information, words, and everything. And I do everything right in front of the person. And then when I'm done, I say to them, okay, now I'm going to tell you everything, and don't tell me anything, but I want you to tell me if you understand any of it. 5 minutes into it, boom, they're already crying. They're understanding everything, you know? So that's this woman. So I'm understanding. So actually, I'm thinking of a case when I'm telling you this. This, I don't remember her name, but I said to her, I said, well, I said, since you understand this, I'm going to see if I get any dreams. Because sometimes, and this is how I know it's a calling for me, because I'm not asking spirit, but all of a sudden spirit starts giving me dreams about the cases. So anyways, I go home, and sure enough, that week, every night I get dreams. And what that means is I'll be sleeping, and poof, all of a sudden There'll be like football lights on, and I'm walking my dream, and I'm either spirit, I'm hearing spirit, or the and not even a hearing, it's more of a clear hearing, like a clear sentient, knowing and hearing. I'll hear roads, I'll hear this, and they'll show me places and images, and then I'll come out and I'll draw it. When I wake up, I'm like, wow, And so with this case, I actually got, I think it was maybe 3 days later, I got a lot of information with dreams. I said, listen, you need to come back in, let's sit down. And then I just explained all my dreams to her. And then she told me everything that had happened. And that's what they were showing me in the dreams. It was amazing. So, and then I said, okay, well, we need to get more information. Don't say anything. So I did it in front of her, and I asked spirit and write everything down. And so we gave information that way. And then there'll be a conclusion to the case. You know what I mean? And so I they want so this woman wanted to know about what happened to this boy, and so we given her information, and I was telling her everything. It was amazing, everything. It was unbelievable. So anyways, I so basically what I do is I take all the landmarks, everything, I make a report out of it, a written report. I do all the landmarks, and I give that to the family, or whoever wants it as well. If they want to have it, it goes part, it's part of the package, so they have that for resources. The same, like if I work with the FBI or something like that, I make a report, because I'm talking their lingo, what I mean? And that's what they need to be represented. So I usually make a report along with it. Depends on what type of case it is. And I'll be honest with you, I've done over 400 cases and been leads in most of them, and all those anyways. And but I'll have to tell you, every case is completely always different. There's always different players, there's always different scenarios. So it's really kind of, to me, I'm not emotionally attached to the case, so it's not that difficult for me. Like a lot, I do a lot of international cases too, or international things that are happening, and so I'm not emotionally attached because I don't know what's really happening until the end, till they tell me, But I've worked on some missing persons, like in person and stuff, and that is just horrible, and because it's a different play, it's a different play. I have to be careful when I'm there. You can smell everything. You can taste death. You can, oh, just, it's just so different on so many different levels,
Yeah, so when you're let's just say a missing person, for example, since you're having these dreams, does the spirit of the person, let's say, who's missing, who actually might be deceased, do they appear in your dreams at all?
Yes. So, you know how I don't know, you're a medium, so I'm always talking to my guides, and my guides are showing me. Sometimes what they'll do is they'll show me the actual thing that happened. Like for instance, for I could say this, that one time I had a little boy in front of me, but I didn't know it was a little boy. I could see the top of his head, and he was showing. I knew it was a he. Like I could feel. I didn't see him, but I knew it. So they're showing me, but I'm not, but I almost want to say my guides are showing me because I ask my guides to control everything for me, so they're having conversation in the dream and with my guides. My guides are protecting me and they're showing me everything, Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that completely makes sense. That's just so interesting. I mean, I don't know, like you said earlier, this is not something you probably thought your life would ever look like.
Oh my God, no. And just recently I did a case where I was I'll never forget it. Like I had been working on a case. I was in India and I got a call from a family. And I said, yeah, I'll give you some information. Give me a couple of weeks, I'll get dreams. Well, sure enough, when I got back to the States, I had a dream. And I couldn't believe it because my best friend, and spirit always shows me my life too. Her son lives in Utah. And all of a sudden, in the beginning of the dream, I saw her son's face. And then the next thing I know, I'm standing there and I'm seeing a mountain and with all these little red things. And then I look to the right and I see this rainbow. And then I turn around and it's like fields, And I turn around and there's this chalet in front of me with a maroon car with a license plate. And then I woke up and I said, at first I'm like, was that a dream? Oh my God, I think that was a dream. So I wrote everything down. And what I did was I went on the internet afterwards and I looked up rainbows because I heard, I'm not going to say the name of the state. It wasn't Utah, but I heard a name. So I typed in the name and then I went to the rainbow area of the state. And sure enough, on one mountain, it said, Red Summit, it said. Red Summit. And that's where all the red jackets were. And then to the right was the Rainbow Center or something. I'm thinking, oh my God, right? It was amazing. Yeah, so we helped out in this one too, but it's just I'm just as intrigued as anyone else when I hear this and it makes sense. It just blows me in half. I'm like, wow, there's something much greater that's happening that we don't even realize, you know what I mean? Because I didn't make that up. That just came to me.
Yes.
You
Have you
know,
ever had
whichever.
anybody come to you where they were not convinced that the person, let's say, I don't know, who was put in jail or put in prison for a crime, they didn't believe that they were guilty. They thought maybe somebody else was, the guilty party or perpetrator.
Yeah, I've had that happen before, and I've actually had that happen with readings too, just regular readings. People will come to me for a reading, and they won't tell me anything, but then it ends up being a forensic case afterwards. I'm like, why didn't you just tell me that in the beginning, you know? Would have been easier, you know? And, but yeah, because a lot of people come to me for information about murders that they think someone had murdered someone that's in the family and this and that. Not necessarily so much, not too many that are already incarcerated, but more like people like within the family and friends. And did he do it? Could, you know, it's amazing. Yeah. I'm laughing, but it's not funny. But there comes a point where you have to just kind of look at it as it's not real, but it is because it's scary and depressing. You know, it really is. People are like, oh, you're so cool. You're a forensic being. I'm like, really? I'm like, I don't think there's anything cool about it. You know, it's hard. It's very heavy, you know?
It is very heavy, and you have to find a way to kind of, separate yourself from that type. I mean, from what you're doing. I mean, I can't imagine how many cases you do like at a time.
Yeah, well, spirit is very good. I don't look for cases. I let spirit bring them to me because spirit knows who I'm supposed to help and they know how to work me. I mean, it's really easy to pick up the internet and do that, but I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it to help and I'm working for spirit. So I maybe have not too many cases at a time, maybe three or four. Six, maybe at the most, you know, but they're all different styles and they're all different ones. And spirit knows what I can handle and what I can't. And I remember like this one, I'll have to say, like, if it's a spirit, like I remember, I don't know why I'm saying this, but there was a missing person and it was a drowning, this and that, it was like suicide, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And I was getting all kinds of songs and everything. And it was just taking over my whole life, you know, because what happens is when I work on a case, it's not something you just shut yourself down for in front of the person always and just write and do maps. It's 24/7 for me. When I'm at the supermarket, I'm seeing things. I might see things over and over, like for signs and everything. I might hear the same songs. It's unbelievable. It's just quite an experience. And sometimes it's really funny. Sometimes I'll share things with my kids. I'm like, oh, I'm seeing this. Do you understand that? And they're like, oh, here she goes again, right? I'm like, just wait. I'm telling you. Sure enough, I'll tell them in 3 weeks after everything's figured out. They're like, wow, you know? So it's just amazing.
And what do your kids think about what you do?
Well, my kids are like 22 and 25 now. And at the time when I was really starting to get into everything, I had like a production company following me for 6 months. No, really, I did. And my kids and stuff. And they're like in parochial school and Catholic school. They're like, oh, what are my friends going to think of me? But my daughter is, she's pretty accepting. My son can go either way. I think he's just not open. He doesn't understand it yet. He doesn't understand connections. Once he matures, he'll understand a little bit more. But they support me because they know that I love them. You know what I mean? But like I'm a peace ambassador. I'm an international peace ambassador as well. And so I took my daughter. We went to Washington D.C. Excuse me, a couple months ago, and I had to say a speech for all the children of the world that I made myself. And in the what do you call it? Where was that? I was at the church there. What's the name of the chapel? You know the big one there on the hill? It's humongous. Oh my God, I'm having a brain delay right now.
It's okay.
Yeah, so I was at a big cathedral in Washington, D.C. The National Cathedral is what it is. And I went there and I had to give a speech on a speech which was a prayer to all the world children. My daughter came and supported me, so that was nice. And my son, I think he felt bad because he's in the other room. I think he felt bad because when he came to the door, he goes, I have to give you a big hug. I should have came. I'm like, Yeah, you should have, but that's okay. He saw it on TV instead. So live and learn.
I'm curious about, okay, like just as an example, like the FBI when they're seeking your help, because you would imagine that there's a lot of skepticism, when it
Course,
comes
yeah.
obviously about this type of work.
Right,
So
yeah.
how often have you been contacted? And then when they contact you, are you met with, still skepticism or
No. So
interest
what
then?
happens usually when I'm contacted by an agency is when everything is already exhausted. Everything's already, they've done everything. All the police departments have gone out, all the people in the community have been out this and that, and when they're at their wits' end, then I'll get a call from an agent. Hey, this is a name. I have a couple of contacts, and they'll say to me, can you, this is the name, what do you get? You know what I mean? Type of thing. So that's how I do it. Yeah. But usually I'm what they call, I call myself a lead, kind of like a dog, when it comes to like missing persons or something like that. Yeah, that's why I like to be called the lead. And yeah, so that happens. Yeah.
I'm also
What's
curious,
that?
your spirit guides. I'm curious about what that was like, meeting your guides, because again, I'm going back to you being Catholic. So what did that, meeting look like, and what does that relationship look like today?
Well, it's really interesting that you say that because in the beginning, actually, when I was in that class, I was telling you about my first meditation. I saw a man. So basically, when you do meditation, and I'm sure many of people have done this themselves, they're in a meditative state, and all of a sudden they might see an angel or someone come into their dream and they're watching them and observing, or an animal or something like that. That's part of tapping into your mediumship state. Okay, so all of a sudden I saw this guy in a cloak, and it was like a pathway, and it was like a Franciscan cloak, and but I couldn't see his face. The next thing I know, I'm looking beneath me and I'm seeing a bald guy on the top of head, like really, I'll never forget it. And then he's going up, and the next thing I know, I'm in this cave. And so anyways, later on in that day, I said to my teacher, she said, tell me everything that happened in your meditation. I said, okay. So I told her very descriptive, and she goes, what was the person's name? I said, I don't know. I feel like I need to say Fran. Fran. Well, turns out this entity, this spirit that I saw was very similar to Saint Francis, who is actually a Catholic saint. Yeah. So I've actually had a lot of Catholic things happen to me. One time I was in a spiritualist church. I'll never forget this. This is amazing. I was in a spiritualist church in Quincy, Massachusetts, and we were watching a woman up there speaking, and we were all in meditation. And sure enough, I saw this woman come out in my meditation, but it was like in my mind's eye, because at the time I didn't walk around with my eyes open seeing spirit. I had to close my eyes because I was too nervous. You know what that means, right? And so I closed my eyes and I said, oh my God. I said, my friend, I think I'm seeing Mother Teresa. She's like, what? I'm like, there's a woman with the habit on. I think that's Mother Teresa. She's like, well, draw it. I'm like, okay. So this was my first drawing. So I drew a Mother Teresa, and I kept it in my car. Well, 2 nights later, I went to a class. It was a transmedium class, one of my first classes. And it was the only one class I ever did. And I came in, and nothing was bad about it. It just wasn't my thing. And I came into the class, and we're all sitting in a circle. And I don't know anyone in this class. All of a sudden, there's a woman sitting next to me. She goes, excuse me, the teacher. She goes, I have to say something before we begin. She goes, what's your name, sweetheart? And I go, oh, Sheila. And she's like, oh, Sheila, there is a woman standing next to you, and she's wearing a habit. She looks like Mother Teresa.
Oh,
Could not believe it. I'm like, oh my God. And my teacher goes, what's going on? I go, I'll be right back. I ran to my car. I'm like, does she look like this? She's like, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, it's real.
wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so I had a lot of experience like that in the beginning. Now what I do is I just call. I mean, there's so many people that I know who have passed and that guide me in my mediumships. All I just say is spirit. And spirit means everyone, from my friends to my parents to people who have died, angels, whoever that is. I just give it to them, and I let them figure out who's going to help me. Because it's just easier that way, and that's part of the trust as well,
Yeah, definitely. Is there one case that really sticks with you that's most memorable that you'd like to share? Or something maybe a little unusual or unexpected?
Well, let's see. Unusual. Oh my God, every one of them is unusual. Well, I'll have to tell you. Yeah, one of my first cases, I was with Kevin, and he says to me, "Okay, Sheila, we're on a mission." And I said, "Okay, what's the mission?" And he shows me a picture of a woman. I don't even know her name. He goes, "I got a rental car. We're gonna go for a ride." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You're gonna tell me where to go." I'm like, "Hold on, let me tell my husband. I'll be gone all day, right?" I said, "I don't know when I'll be back, but I'll be home before midnight." He's like, "Okay, no problem, you know." So, oh my God, it just thundered and lightning out my window. That was confirmation from spirit. Anyways, and that's just crazy. And so I get in the car. And he goes, "Okay, here's a pad of paper." He taught me how to do this, you know, because he was like working with it. That was his mission in his life to help me, I think. And he goes, "Okay, tell me which way to go." I'm like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Ask spirit." I'm like, "Okay, spirit, which way to go?" "Okay, go right up here." I wrote down, "Okay, go left." And he goes, "Which way do we go? North, south, or go northwest, and go, and the highway up here." That's how we went. Let me tell you, we drove three states away. He knew where we were going, but I hadn't a clue. And yeah, and all of a sudden he goes, "What else are you getting, Sheila?" And I'm like, "I don't know." And I'm writing all these words. We're up north now. I'm writing words, this and that. And he goes, "Okay, I just want to let you know we're in the area." I'm like, "We are?" He goes, "Yeah, you got us here." I'm like, "That's crazy, right?" And then all of a sudden he goes, "What was the name you just said?" And I'm not going to, I'll just say Peacock, but that wasn't the name. I'll say Peacock Landing. And he goes, "Well, okay, let's look for a Peacock Landing." Not even a quarter mile away to the left, that was the name of the cemetery. Unbelievable. Yeah. And so then we continued like this for a few hours, and I was in that area and I was walking. Oh my God. So basically, make a long story short, this is one of my first times with the FBI, because we got out, we introduced ourselves, this to let them know who we are, because we don't want to think that we're suspects, you know. And so that was my introduction to the FBI. And made a long story short, after 3 days, we actually went back a couple more days because I had to get home. And we got the people into maybe 500 feet of where the body was, which is not bad for amount of area that was. So I was a lead in that case. And then that's how it began with the FBI. But yeah, that was amazing. So the whole trip was like that. And that's how I began doing forensics. Like, he had certain questions the way to ask me, and I had a certain way to do it in my head. And then now I can do that by myself. And that's what I teach my students now. But yeah, so that was really kind of cool. You know, it's like having your first kiss, you know. You don't forget
Yes. That's incredible. Oh my
it.
goodness. So if somebody was interested in, developing their gifts and they, even interested in going this route, like what would you tell them like to focus on, I guess, at the beginning? Like what are some of the
Well,
initial steps?
in the beginning, I would say, come to my class. It's online, and I do mentorship as well. But honestly, SheilaMarieMedium.com. But anyways, I would tell them, if you're beginning, just mediumship, you know, or have you been in mediumship for a while, really practice on your meditations, your guided meditations, and going off and trusting spirit. But letting go of the fear, false evidence appearing real, is key to unblocking. Also, understanding if you're controlling it or uncontrolled, if it's a control vision or uncontrolled vision. I teach this in my classes. And also, to knowing when you're thinking and what, and knowing when you're subconsciously thinking. And the key is not to think, and how to do that. So these are the things you have to master, I believe, in order to get very accurate. You know, I have a couple of students now that I'm mentoring for a couple of years now. And in the beginning, it's really hard because you doubt yourself. And it's a new way of training your brain and your thought process, because we're so conditioned as human beings to think a certain way, you know, and to because this is what we do as humans, and almost everything that you do thinking wise, you have to untrain yourself and be the complete opposite of that, because what you're becoming is you're becoming the channel for spirit, you know, you're that conduit, and but understanding yourself in that sense, the uncontrolled thinking, the uncontrolled vision, the controlled vision, the non-thinking and the non-subconscious thinking, and letting go of the fear is key. So you have to work on all that and master that. And then I suggest, like, to my older students, my advanced students, okay, once we master that, then we can start the data and the information. I can start asking them questions. They can tell me what they see. You know what I mean? And because you got to master the mediumship first, and to be accurate, because it'll help you. Because what will happen is, once you get in a case, you know, you might get to the case and you might be scared to death and nervous that you're not going to get anything, this and that. So it's really important to train you to be the medium and into that zone, you know? And yeah, so that's the process, I believe. It works for me anyways. And that's what I try to teach my students, you know. But once they start doing it, boom, 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 they're very, very accurate. So it's really kind of cool, you know.
Awesome. And
Yeah.
then something else I wanted to ask you. I was just curious. You know, many people are afraid of what lies in the next life of dying. You know, that's it's a common fear. I think everybody has. It's the fear of the unknown. And then depending on how you're raised and what you believe, it can also be even more frightening. So just based off of you, even communing, like having conversations with your guide, having conversations with those who have departed, what would you say to people who are just so afraid of like, you know, passing away and going to the other side?
Well, I just want to say that, you know, there's no such thing as time, man-made time. Once you realize that, your life will change. You'll understand that everything's in the moment, right? And everything is science. We live in space. We forget this. We live on Earth. We're on a planet, you know, with the moon and sun. We forget this because we're so involved in our social lives. And everything is energy. These bodies are just our astronaut suits, which keep our Atman, our soul, our energy inside us. And when these astronaut suits don't work, that soul, that Atman, the energy releases from the body and goes to that energy of a network of energy of consciousness, which is bits and bits of energy throughout many dimensions. You know, this is why we can go through meditation and see all different things in there, because it's just like walking into the next room. You know, people describe it as a wormhole, this and that. I don't know what it will be like because I haven't died yet, but I can tell you my experience is, I know that these spirits, these energies that I'm speaking with. Now, my other thing is, are they really in that form that I'm seeing them in? I'm not so sure, because I know that they're showing me what I need to say, so the person can identify that. So to me, I believe it's energy, you know, but they're existing. You know what I mean? And it's an enlightened state. It's a pure love. It's completely, that's why I love doing this. It's like pure love, you know. If I'm having a bad day, I'll go into spirit and I feel so much better afterwards because of it, you know. But yeah, so don't be afraid. Fear is false evidence appearing real. We create fear. No reason to fear. It's a celebration. When we pass, it's not easy because we miss that person. You know what I mean? But they're still here in spirit with us. And I don't mean just in our minds. They're really here in spirit with energy. And I do believe it's multidimensional too. I don't believe it's just here and one with one person. I believe it's with everything, you know? And to me, I almost feel like, you know, there's so many different avenues where people will say in different religions, oh, they have to stay here for so many months or this and that. Listen, nobody knows, you know what I mean? So I believe that for me anyways, when I'm working with spirit, you know, they'll say to me, oh, but my father's only passed just yesterday. I said, it doesn't matter. You could speak to him right now, 2 minutes after he passes. It doesn't matter. Spirit's going to show it to us. You know, I just believe maybe the medium can't do that because they're nervous. You know what I mean? But it is what it is, you know. So we put limitations on ourselves as beings. So yeah, so just know that everything's pure love and everything's natural. And I always tell my children this. I don't know about you guys, but I never thought about being born. Right? Did you ever think that you were going to be born, that you can remember? No. So don't worry about death. I'm sure it's very similar in that process.
Yes.
Why when I always say, why live your life worrying about something that's inevitable? You should, you're here. I tell people, listen, you're sick, you have this, but you're not dead yet. You're still alive. You need to live. There's many different, how do you choose to live? For me, I want to be happy. I want to be lovable. I want to be happy and until the day I pass or transition is what you would say, you know? So it's important to live now and not fear because you got this. Everyone's got this, you know? And it's really hard because people die in all different ways and forms and tragedy. And then you have grief and then people, well, F you, Sheila, you know? And it's like, you know what? I don't choose. I don't know why. Or if we choose our own death, I don't know why. But all I know is this is just not the end. You know, this is just like, I always say, this is our life is like one dream. Our whole life is one dream. Think of that.
I know
Just like
that's
a dream is
crazy.
like your whole, you know, you can go through your whole life. Yeah. And you have to think we live in space, so why can't it be? You know?
That's true.
Space continuum.
Yes,
Yeah.
that's
So I mean it really we have to think outside the box. You know, kind of like Star Trek, you know.
Yeah,
The
it
Jetsons, you know.
is
We
actually.
are becoming like the Jetsons, I
Yes, I think so too. Very much so. Well, Sheila,
Yeah.
thank you so much for, being with us today. This was really interesting. And your book, Forensic Medium, The Power of the Unseen, where can people find it if they want to read it?
Well, they can go to Amazon or Barnes and Noble. There's ebook and a paperback, or you can go to the book site forensicmedium.com or my website sheilamariemedium.com. Yes.
Fantastic. Well,
And
everybody.
also they can come for readings and classes there too.
Oh, fantastic.
Sorry.
Fantastic. Oh, no problem. Thank you so much. And, we really appreciate you being here. Everybody, I've
Yeah,
read
thank you
your
for
book. It's
having me.
fantastic. And, maybe we'll see each other again soon.
Oh, thank you so much. God bless you. Take care and enjoy
Thank
your life.
you too. Likewise. All right, everybody,
Thank
have a
you.
good week.
Okay.